This is Robert Travis Scott, president of the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana. I'm sitting in today for Jim Inkster. On our show today are the two major news publishers for the Baton Rouge area. John Georges is in the studio. A highly successful businessman, he recently bought The Advocate from the Manship family and took the plunge into the daily newspaper world. He's also taking on the New Orleans market and building up circulation of a daily edition of The Advocate in the Crescent City. So it's your chance to get to know John and hear his plans for our community's daily newspaper. And we'll have a special feature about The Advocate's modern printing press that's helping Mr. Georges in the newspaper competition. Also on the show, Rolf McCollister, the founder and owner of Louisiana Business, Inc., which publishes The Business Report, 225 Magazine, and In Register. And now, the news. Welcome back to the Jim Inkster Show. I'm Robert Travis Scott. I'm president of the Public Affairs Research Council, and I have the good fortune for sitting in for Mr. Jim Inkster today, who can't be with us. We have Kevin Gallagher in the booth backing me up, and we'll be taking your calls today as we speak with Mr. John Georges, the new publisher and owner of The Advocate. And the number is 297-5633. That's 297-5633, or toll free at 877-217-5757. And before we start with Mr. Georges, we have a great little news feature that we want to play. When John Georges closed the deal to buy The Advocate in May, it came with one of the newest printing presses in the country. It's sort of a fluke. The Baton Rouge paper had been nursing its 1950s era letter presses for years when it finally had to bite the bullet and invest in a new production facility. Well, the Speedy Offset Press came online in 2006, just as the country was headed into a recession and the newspaper industry was tanking. So now, as WRKF's Amy Jeffries reports, The Advocate thinks the press is a secret weapon in the South Louisiana newspaper world.
Around 9:30 on a Friday night, pressman Charles Ramal carves a half-ton reel of fresh newsprint out of its thick brown paper wrapping. Ever so carefully, he stretches a strip of tape along the width of the reel and runs his hand across the newsprint that will be threaded into The Advocate's printing press.
Make sure it's perfect. No tears in it, no wrinkles, no big creases. It got to be real smooth to go in there and paste out right.
To keep the press from running out of paper, this reel has to stick to the next one just perfectly, spinning at highway speed. The press can pump out 65,000 copies an hour. So it was no problem for The Advocate to add a New Orleans edition to the daily run and still have every paper delivered by 6:30 in the morning. Dan Shea, general manager and chief operating officer, says The Advocate's press is twice as fast as the 40-year-old presses at the New Orleans Times-Picayune, where he worked for 19 years until last September. When multimillionaire businessman John Georges was considering buying The Advocate, he asked Shea to check out the press.
I've known John for 15 years. Our kids go to school together. He needed someone who understood the technology to say, if I buy this paper, I don't need to go out and buy a press. And there's no question. I said, John, you should have no concerns about the production facilities.
Shea figures this press cost about $19 million to build, and it'll last another 30 years.
I would not want to own a newspaper that needed a new press right now because the capital spending isn't possible.
On October 1st of last year, the same day the Times-Picayune cut back to printing just 3 days a week, the Baton Rouge paper started printing its New Orleans edition.
The problem, after a while, people realized this is not a New Orleans paper. There are New Orleans stories on the front page and the Metro page, but there are Baton Rouge obituaries, Baton Rouge editorials, Baton Rouge social coverage, Baton Rouge prep sports coverage, and they just wanted more.
Picking up a copy of the New Orleans Advocate, literally hot off the press, Shea points to the growing number of New Orleans bylines as The Advocate has plucked reporters from the Picayune's former staff.
Was that the Picayune? Was that the Picayune? Regular reporter, was that the Picayune?
Newspapers are flying overhead on a conveyor, down into the bundler, and onto the insertion machines that will stuff in the ads and pre-printed sections. The New Orleans edition ships out first because it has the farthest to travel to its destination. then Acadiana, Baton Rouge is last. But Shea wants to rejigger that to give the Crescent City newsroom a later deadline.
If a Hornets game runs into overtime, I should say the Pelican game runs into overtime, we want to get it in the paper.
Shea says because of its ultra-modern production facility, the Advocate can put out a unique paper for New Orleans without taking anything away from hometown readers in Baton Rouge. Amy Jeffries, WRKF News.
All right. Thank you, Amy, for that feature. And so, John, you here in the studio, you heard the report. Was the printing press a big selling point for you in purchasing the Advocate?
Well, actually, the printing facility here in Baton Rouge is one of four of the newest printing presses in America. And that is a real value. And we know the Times-Picayune's holding company owns one in Mobile. And these facilities, they can print color, they can print quality print, they can print with speed, and they can handle probably daily home deliveries in a 3-mile driving radius. And it happens to be on the New Orleans side of the Baton Rouge, town of Baton Rouge. So it's about a 40-minute drive to New Orleans. So it can easily handle daily deliveries from Lafayette to New Orleans and Hammond to Houma.
How about that? Well, now, John, you own the Imperial Trading Company, AMA Distributors. You own Galatoire's here in town and in New Orleans. And now you own The Advocate. And there was a time when people thought newspapers were not necessarily a great investment during this day and age. And from a business standpoint, why did you decide to buy a daily newspaper in 2013?
Well, obviously, I'm very bullish on newspapers in this economy. I think you see other financial investors like Warren Buffett around the country agreeing with me. But there's been a lot of fanfare about these large city newspapers, New York Times, Chicago, Boston. But actually, the small town papers have done very well. They're fairly stable. And a lot of them had excessive costs, unfunded pensions, debt, a lot of issues that, and I liken their problems to, I attribute them to, being a monopolies for so long. They were not in the competitive world. That's the world that I'm in every day. I compete with, competitors. And so when you're in a competitive environment, as opposed to monopoly, you're always trying to improve your cost, your product. You're trying to be better than your competition. When you have a monopoly, you can kind of sit back and dictate things. And I think that they are the last bastion of monopolies in America. And being, an entrepreneur, I think that the future of newspapers are in the hands of entrepreneurs.
And there's so many different media competing with newspapers these days. And we were talking earlier, you were saying that when you buy a newspaper company, you're not just buying a room full of reporters.
The Advocate has over 450 employees and hundreds of independent contractors that make the delivery. And we tend to think about the journalists in the organization. That might be 20-25% of the organization. And there's a lot more that goes on in terms of circulation, delivery, logistics, printing, layouts, also advertising sales. So the business side of the paper has to be attended to. And that's kind of where I come from. Many people know me from running for public office, which is a tribute to a civic duty to step up when Katrina, we were faced with such failures in political leadership, and all of my peer groups, business people around the state, we all stepped up, filled different roles, and I was just one of the few that actually went the ultimate route and ran for office, which was a very enjoyable experience for me.
You ran for governor and you ran for mayor.
Yeah.
And I think during that process, formed a lot of relationships with the whole spectrum of public interests and people in New Orleans and to some extent in other parts of the state. And I think you maybe have brought a little bit of that in your approach to the advocate up here. Tell me about how you dig into this community.
Well, I think there are a lot of that question opens a lot of other questions. The question is the civic side of me, which is sometimes hard to see a businessman go from a guy who solely makes money for a living. But we all care about our communities, and that's easy. You know, a publisher is the ultimate form of civic duty. You suddenly realize the ultimate responsibilities you have, not just being a historian and someone who cares about history, proud of the rich Louisiana culture and the Greek culture that my ancestors come from, but also the history of preserving journalism and the Manship family are just the ultimate example. I put them and Ashton Phelps, your former publisher of your former newspaper guy. These people were dedicated. They represented all that's good in journalism. And of course, Mr. Redman, who worked many, many years at the Advocate as the editor, just represented the greatest form of journalism that Louisiana and the country has to offer.
And indeed, as a publisher, you have that community role, and maybe not to the same level of expectation as a businessman running one of these other companies, although you have stepped up on the community side. But how can you, living in New Orleans, how can you communicate that this is your town too and that you're going to connect with this community?
Well, I'm not your typical New Orleanian. My father was born in Greece, so he came from another country, and my mother, although she was born in New Orleans, her parents were Greek immigrants. So, we had...
It is true that people outside of New Orleans sometimes think New Orleanians are from another country.
So right, we fit perfect. But the truth is that we had to adapt, bring our culture to New Orleans and be part of that. But also we had to adapt as a family to New Orleans. But I'm not your typical New Orleanian in the sense that while I look like them and maybe sometimes act like them, our business, Imperial Trading, which was started by my grandfather, has been doing business in Baton Rouge for 35 years. Our biggest customers are the convenience stores that are in Baton Rouge. Cracker Barrel stores here in Baton Rouge have been buying from us. They're our largest customers. So we've been doing business for many, many years. Also, I own businesses here, and I've had a place, a residence here since 2006, 2007. So, and of course, being in the YPO, Young Presidents Organization, the business leadership of YPO in Baton Rouge is the strongest group of people. They're all the people that the business leaders here. And of course,
well, you got a warm welcome when you made the announcement. You had the mayor of New Orleans and of Baton Rouge and the governor all welcoming you to our town.
Yeah, I think that was very symbolic of the potential to unify in the direction we're moving, more regionalization. The mayors of New Orleans and Baton Rouge and the governor, two of which I ran against for office. And
as a matter of fact,
people take sides, journalists take sides, but the candidates have something in common that we all are trying to serve our community. And I think I tease Jindal whenever he gets, the governor Jindal, whenever he gets in trouble, he just pulls out the Georgia's plan and goes to a certain page and pulls out one of my ideas. And he's been very receptive to all of my ideas when I ran. And of course, Mayor Landrieu, I begged him to run. He wouldn't run. And then when I jumped in and started winning, he couldn't help himself. But
are you going to run? Are you ever going to run again?
I don't rule that out. It's really not on my radar right now. I mean, obviously, the newspaper is our number one public office. But, I don't like when people rule things out and then they have a sudden change of heart. And you almost think they're just dishonest at some point. But right now, the newspaper is more than I can handle. And of course, when you assume the role of owner and publisher, you change a little in the sense that you don't really advocate for one position as you do as a candidate. You really want the truth to come out.
and the truth to come out. That's part of what we're all about with newspapers. Hang with us, John Georges. It's going to be good. Welcome back to the Jim Inkster Show. I'm Robert Travis Scott, sitting in for Jim Inkster, and in the studio with us, John Georges, the new owner of the Advocate newspaper. 297-5633. That's the call in number to, if you have a question for Mr. Georges. 297-5633 or 1-877-217-5757. Well, I think everyone's wondering, John, what changes you might have in store for the Advocate newspaper.
Well, obviously, the first change is that we brought in two great journalists to run the paper. Dan Shea is a former managing editor, longtime managing editor of the Times-Picayune, and Peter Kovacs. So these are two people that are respected in journalism.
And for full disclosure, I should say that I worked with these two gentlemen and have a great deal of admiration for them. I don't think you could have possibly made better hires.
Yeah, you know, and I attribute my success in business to finding the best people to run the companies, and that's really my secret. And I've known Dan through our children attending school together, and of course, being a journalist, I stayed away from him, but we were always very cordial and very professional. Didn't know Peter, but he's really highly regarded. So they've come in with their desires, and obviously the Manships made a decision to enter the New Orleans market when the Times-Picayune went 3 days. And so having two guys that were familiar with New Orleans, they've gone to work quickly and assembled the New Orleans Bureau, and we beefed it up. And my role is up to date has been to provide the resources for these guys to hire the best talent. And we've really have an unbelievable group of people. They're motivated.
You've brought in a lot of great people in a very short period of time.
Yeah. And Martha Carr is the bureau chief. Gordon Russell.
She's top rate. Gordon Russell's
Martha's
the best.
Children the best also go to my kid's school. So there's a connection there. Of course, Ashton Phelps went to the same school. So interesting school. But
you know, I think what people are wondering is that you've got the news operation and the potential for some editorial influence. A lot of publishers will have some influence over the newspaper. And there's the newsroom, so to speak, collecting the news and what impact you might have on their scope and vision and how much investigative reporting you want to see them do. But then also, very importantly for this community, the editorial page. Yeah. And many newspapers, the publisher is representing those views.
Well, I'm responsible for what they write. Right now it's not my, you know, I obviously have a public life where I've taken a lot of positions, and my views are not going to be reflected in the paper. First time when someone takes an ad out and I look at it and I go, oh my goodness. But, you know, that's part of the freedom of the press and people's right to express themselves. So you change when you become a publisher. You really don't have these burning, strong feelings. At least I don't. Maybe others are still the way. I mean, I'd be more suspicious of the Koch brothers who have a strong political agenda. But for me, the fact that I brought in great guys and there's a whole team of people, but ultimately I'm responsible for what they write. At this point, my emphasis has been in the other 75% of the organization, the business, the advertising. But it's just like owning Galatoire's. I'm responsible for the food, but the chef is the one who prepares it.
Okay, we've got Chris on Segan. He has a question for you, Mr. Georges. Chris?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
I had a question for Mr. Georges related to, I know we see a lot of the news business these days going online and trying to be more efficient, more streamlined, but how does that play a role in the investigative journalist process? And will we still see the type of investigative journalism and the breadth of journalism that we've seen in the past due to budget cuts and things like that within the newspaper industry?
Well, that's a real good question. We all really read newspapers for the depth. We might see a story on the television the night before that triggers our thoughts. But there are two types of consumers of news. Those that want the short stories, and many of them. And, of course, if you go to the Advocate iPad app, we have a mobile app and we have an iPad app, you will get those quick, short stories. But when you have a mixed bag of reporters, when you have a Gordon Russell and a Stephanie Grace and, you know, James Gill, and I don't mean to ignore all the great writers in Baton Rouge, some of my favorites, but the Capital Bureau, Marcia and Michelle, and of course Jordan Bloom up in D.C., you're going to get longer stories from them. So it's a mixed bag. The paper will probably have the longer stories, but the digital version might have the recaps. I'm kind of both. I like to, you know, there are times when I just want to know what to look for, and I look quickly, like a U.S. Today has the recap. And then there are times when I really want to know more about what's really going on, and have and also draw my own conclusions. So we'll have a mixed bag. We're not forcing one or the other. And of course, you have a lot of young, you know, Baton Rouge is the Manship School of Mass Communications. Great opportunity
at LSU.
And great opportunity for interns. And so we might be hiring the next Pulitzer Prize winner, or so you never know. But
so much of your attention, I imagine, and the business's attention has been focused here in the early stage on the New Orleans operation. And you know, at first, when the Advocate opened up this New Orleans operation, it seemed like a bureau, and it was going to be a Baton Rouge Advocate newspaper with a bureau in New Orleans. Well, now it seems like it's much more ambitious. It sounds like you want to be the daily newspaper in New Orleans. What is your plan there?
Yeah, actually, that's not really true that the emphasis has been in New Orleans. The emphasis has been in Baton Rouge. We have 100,000 daily subscribers in Baton Rouge, and we have maybe 20,000 in New Orleans. So our primary emphasis is Baton Rouge.
You're the biggest daily newspaper in New Orleans right now.
Yeah, we're the biggest in the state.
And, the Picayune 3 days a week.
New Orleans is going to grow. Lafayette's going to grow. We think the three cities, all three, we've set up community boards to address the needs of community. I know you want to know more about that.
Community boards, these are people you draw from the communities to come together to advise you about.
Yeah, let's say a town like Baton Rouge, you probably need 30 people to slice and dice and cover every aspect of the community. We'll only have about 6 or 7, but it'll be an opportunity for the editor to have advisors that are, you know, as someone who actually was a victim of journalists that wrote about me, you know, you almost think they have a bias sometimes when they write, and I don't think they do, but you feel that way because they don't grasp who you are, where you're coming from. And sometimes they look for the negative. Well, if you have a community board that is representative of the community, the editor has an opportunity once a month to meet and get feedback about how they're doing and whether they're not covering something correctly, or they miss something. And
so you're getting some input from the community.
Not me, the editor.
The editors,
yeah,
themselves.
Peter Kovacs and Dan Shea. Not mm-hmm. I'm not on the editorial, the community board. I will attend if invited, may have some questions for me, but actually my wife, Dathal, we're equal partners in this business, and she will be the owner representative on the community board.
Next time we'll have her on.
Well,
and here
you're welcome
to
have her.
But down in New Orleans, what is the plan? Do you want to become the dominant newspaper?
We already are. The Newhouse family is now in its second or third generation. It's a cousin consortium.
Now, you're referring to the Newhouse family. They own the Times-Picayune-NOLA, which is
they live in New York.
Daily paper there.
They don't live in Louisiana. They're mm-hmm. not local, and mm-hmm. they live up there. They left longtime publisher Ashton Phelps to do whatever he chose, and his departure, I think, was the biggest blow in New Orleans since Katrina, because he really understood journalism from all the forms. Doesn't matter what.
So what has that left open for you to do in New Orleans that's not being done?
Yeah, what's happened is there are a lot of unhappy writers, so we were able to scoop up many of them. Some of them left on their own. took packages. Some of them stayed. And so we put together, actually the office is full right now. I think my daughter's working down there as an intern. But
so you had to do more, though, than just have a New Orleans branch of a Baton Rouge paper.
Yeah, it's
paper.
A separate paper.
You have to now have obituaries that are from the local area, sports, local sports, high school sports.
Yes,
how are you handling all that?
Well, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So what you have to do is, what the Manships did so smartly is they created a bureau and they did the cover pages with the top stories, and that was enough to get a foothold. And to go all the way in, you have to have obituaries, prep sports, all the aspects of coverage that a local community wants. And also St. Tammany, we actually have a bureau there, and Sarah Bagonis runs that, and she was the bureau chief in New Orleans, and now she's the St. Tammany bureau chief. So it's all about local coverage and getting the stories. And you know, now at the internet stage, it's getting them first, and we've already been first in a lot of stories already.
Okay, hang on. We have Bill Huey on this topic. Bill, with us, can you have a question here for Mr. Georges? Bill? I guess we lost Bill. I think Bill was asking a question about why there's a Scott Cowan editorial in the paper today, an editorial about Scott Cowan's tenure, because he's at Tulane, and this is the Baton Rouge newspaper, and that was his question.
Well, Tulane's the largest employer in the state, I guess prior to maybe Shaw and Turner, but they're in the top five. Many people around the state attend the university, and when you have a retirement of a university president, it's news. But he is a big figure in the recovery of Katrina, and he announced his retirement. That would be why, and it'd be no different than Jim Bernhardt or someone in Baton Rouge.
Well, you know, these days we talk about the monopoly power of newspapers, and there's so many different competitors that are now sort of eating away at each little individual product that the paper puts out, whether it's sports news or opinion, political blogging, car ads, you know, everyone's sort of eating away at both the financial and journalistic components that make up a newspaper. And then we have the digital community, the digital age with Twitter and online and so on. How do you see a daily print circulation business surviving
well,
in this new environment?
Yeah, just the same way hospitals and banks and schools and everyone else survives. Grocery stores, you're going to have to expand your coverage and start covering more geography. Obviously, the Times-Picayune would like to come into Baton Rouge and do more LSU coverage. You can see that. And, of course, we will go into other parts of the state. And, obviously, the Houma Thibodeau area, Lafourche Terrebonne is laden with oil service, environmental stories, Nichols University. So no different than our family grocery distribution company started in a few parishes and everyone kind of had their own little local. We now are in 12 states, four distribution centers, and you just cover more geography. So the print facility capacity is over 70,000. We're running about 60,000 an hour, and it's probably can handle 75,000 an hour. So
that makes it easier for you to get your product down into New Orleans.
I mean, we could do 200,000 or 300,000 copies if we had to.
Do you think the Times-Picayune made a mistake going to 3 days a week?
Not from their point of view. They were in a city that got hit with Katrina. They lost readership. They lost advertisers. There are four or five things there. They made a business decision for them to survive. They didn't just consider New Orleans when they did it. They considered other cities with other problems. And I don't judge them the way other people do. I'm not a former employee there. I'm actually a reader. I'm a subscriber, and I'm pulling for them every day. I think what they did actually hurt journalism and print media because it put a very sour taste in many people's mouths. And You know, people...
It wasn't just what they did, it was the way they did it? Is that what
Well, I don't know the way they did it. I don't. All I know is the way people reported it and reacted to it. I wasn't there firsthand to know how they did it.
How do you get your news?
I could tell you the way that I bought The Advocate, and it was different.
Mm-hmm.
We prioritized our employees, and we spent time. Our first day there was all about the employees, and my wife was there. We invited a few elected officials, and we had a press conference. The Manships were there. They explained why they chose me, and they could have sold the paper to anyone, Tom Benson, Warren Buffett, the Koch brothers. They liked when I ran for governor that I was a person with a big heart that had a lot of great ideas, that had success, that was positive, that doesn't put money first.
How often do you visit the building and the people there and interact?
I'm there every day.
Is that right?
Well, Monday through Friday.
I see. So you're spending a lot of time.
Yeah,
it's
my priority right now. And, other than taking family vacations, which are my ultimate,
you have to squeeze
priority.
Those in somewhere. So.
But I'm up here. But the first day, you know, my brother owns Dat Dog, which is a famous hot dog institution. So we brought the Dat Dog cart in. We brought food trucks, and we spent all day with employees, knowing how important it was for them to know they work for one family for so long. We interviewed over 80 employees prior during the due diligence period with a professor in communications, Michelle Johnston, and asked all of the employees how they felt about the company. We got good feedback, and then we responded in such a way. Now, everyone knows we have to make business changes, and we made editor changes, and I hope it worked out with Mr. Redmond's retirement age. And
I think there's a lot of respect for Mr. Redmond in this community and among the new editors.
Yeah.
But what are we going to have at some point, a change in more personnel?
We've already made changes. We've already changed the circulation director. We wanted changes there. We will make changes. We're not against changes.
Well, you know, this is not.
But hopefully they're all positive.
Yeah, this is not the only business you own in Baton Rouge. You own Galatoire's. What possessed you to buy Galatoire's, and then you decided to build
to change that as well?
Yeah,
that first thing I did. I know Baton Rouge well enough to know it was in the wrong location. It needed to be more centered to town because
there was a Galatoire's way out on Highland, and now you built it down on Perkins Road near
State Troop A
College and Perkins.
Yeah, and I don't want to say our patrons don't like driving by a state police station, but. Actually, the downtown crowd couldn't get out there for lunch. It was too far away. And then, so we believe the people who live by the Country Club of Louisiana will actually drive in at night. And, of course, there was a lot of construction on the highway. So.
Well, John Georges, here you are, ready to make a big impact with The Advocate, not only in Baton Rouge, but in New Orleans. A lot more to come from you and this new business development. We really appreciate you having you on the show today. We'll be back after this break, 297-5633. We'll have Rolf McAllister, publisher of the Business Report. Stay with us. It's going to be good. Welcome back to the Jim Inkster Show. Robert Travis Scott with you, sitting in for Jim Inkster. And we're going to have on Rolf McAllister, publisher of The Business Report, the other big publisher in town. Rolf, are you with us?
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Hey, listen, Mr. Georges just wanted to impart some kind words for you, so I thought I'd let him do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hello, John.
Hi, how are you? Just enjoy reading your business journal and the coverage there, and particularly appreciate the story about The Advocate, and look forward to, you know, we all fit our niche in serving the community, and being a business guy, I think I enjoy reading your paper and getting your alerts on a regular basis.
Thank you. Well, welcome to Baton Rouge and the industry. You know, it's a fun industry, and definitely can make an impact on communities and our state.
I think you have some fine people there, particularly Stephanie Regal. All my friends in the business community. Nobody makes a move before she finds out. And
Yeah, she's great. I think that's true.
Yeah, she's very good and persistent. Well, Mr. Georges, thanks for joining us today. And I'm sure you two gentlemen are going to have a lot more to talk about in the future. And
Thank you.
But Rolf, welcome aboard. Let me just suggest to the listeners out there, 297-5633, 297-5633, if you have a call and would like to ask a question of Rolf McAllister. Well, yes, indeed, Rolf, you had a big story about John Georges,
right.
The cover story of the May 14th, 27th edition. It was quite good, a story by Stephanie Regal. What do you think of your new publisher in town? And I guess in many ways, he is a competitor.
Yeah, well, it's obviously John has big ideas and big plans for the Advocate, both in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And, you know, this industry's changing, and you know, we all have to look to the future. As Wayne Gretzky used to say about his success, you don't skate to where the puck is, you skate to where the puck is going to be. And that's been the thing that all of us have been trying to figure out in the media business, in particular newspapers. And so it's an exciting time, and, you know, it's there's always challenges, but that's really with any business these days. And the Internet has really kind of been a game changer. It's certainly leveled the playing field. You know, it was predicted to do that back in the late 90s, and a lot of publishers never believed that people would, quote, read news on a screen, and they just never anticipated such things as iPads and smartphones and Kindles and the portability.
And here we are reading them less on paper. Well, you have a lot of products that your company puts out. There's, of course, the business report that's very well known, covering the business in this region. You have 225 magazine, a very slick and very nice style magazine. You have In Register, Society magazine. I'm probably missing some other publications too.
Yeah. Well, we do a lot of annual publications, our Book of Lists and Real Estate, and then, of course, we have a lot of online products, particularly the Daily Report.
Tell us about the Daily Report, because that's, I think, one of your ways of trying to compete in this new era.
Right. Well, it started, you know, again, being a niche publisher and looking for other ways to reach customers. We some of the publishers around the country started a thing called a fax daily, and they used to put out a fax daily back in the when faxes were in. And that was actually, we started Daily Report 15 years ago, and we started as a fax like other publishers, business journals were doing. But then we had some people in our office said, hey, look, there's this thing email, we ought to do an email version. So again, not really knowing much about it, we said, okay, we're willing to try. And we started out with sending out 5 emails, 10 emails, 20 emails, because there were a lot of people that didn't have email accounts. So we did simultaneously, and we were the first business journal to really start a daily e-newsletter. And, of course, you can probably remember how many daily e-newsletters did you get 15 years ago.
Right.
And anyway, that's really grown to where we do it twice a day in news alerts, and it's got a real strong following, and of course it allows us.
Well, can you make money on that end of the
business? Yes, I mean we do real well with online advertising. We've had to develop now. It's been more in the last 5 years than it was in the first 10, but it does really well with advertising because of the strong readership, and of course it allows us to send out thousands, you know, in minutes. Without printing, without paper, quick delivery, and, of course, allows us to break news, which we always do, against bigger organizations.
And you also steer people to other news that's going
right,
on.
Right,
there's
exactly.
Something breaks, and y'all will then communicate. And we've seen a lot of the media do that. I know NOLA,
right.
NOLA does that a great deal, signals
right.
you to other news going on,
right.
and it gives you a reason for going there. Well, what advice would you have for Mr. Georges in his new role? And by that I mean, what advice would you have for him as far as running a successful publishing business, but also what advice would you have for Mr. Georges about feeling embedded and a part of this community in his new role as publisher of The Advocate?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, it's obvious he's a very smart and successful businessman, and part of any industry or publishing as well is the business side of it. So you have to be able, as you said, even on the e-newsletters, to monetize. You can't just put out news and people read it, and, you know, and nobody pay for it. And of course, that's one thing that's happened on the Internet. Everything's free. So the idea is news in general, national and international, is a commodity. You can get it from any number of sources. So why do they need to read your publication? You know, and so I think that's one of the things. As far as the industry, you know, he's obviously, you know, from the Times Pick days, he's got some smart people, you know, with Dan Shea and Peter Kovacs now in his organization working with him. You know, you do need to find, again, as we talked about, how do you make your publication valuable? Again, the market's changing rapidly. You know, you have to – we, of course, we go with niches because, you know, we try to, again, not be all things to all people. We try to focus on business. We try to focus on, you know, lifestyle in 225, where people can discover their community and find things to do with their time. We try to cover, you know, people involved in the community and nonprofits within Register and activities. And so, again, each one, you know, is different. Sort of, if you remember, there's a guy in Louisiana named Paul Fleming, and Paul Fleming did it in restaurant business. Fleming's, P.F. Chang's, Bonefish Grill, and Carrabba's, those are all concepts under one, you know, company that was started. So each one is different. Each one serves a need. I think that he's got to figure out, too, between the markets, while there is some synergy in the region between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, you know, the taste in New Orleans are different from the taste in Baton Rouge. And I think that you've got to constantly listen to your reader. You got to find out what they want, where they're going.
That's an interesting point. You may not be able to bring a New Orleans style of journalism and newspaper and business style to Baton Rouge and make it work.
Right. I mean, it's like I said, you have to listen to your customer. People are used to their thing. People here love Smiley. Down there, they may love, you know, another columnist. You put that columnist in Baton Rouge, he may not be a hit here, and vice versa. You know what I mean? It's what you kind of – people are – you know, human nature is habit and what we grow up with. And so – I think you gotta have to customize. I think that's what I've seen more and more now. People like choices. They like their news customized. They want to read what they want to read, and of course, the internet allows for a lot of that. You know, with your alerts and with putting together, you know, what e-newsletters you like. Twitter, right? You choose who you want to follow.
Right.
And you know,
and,
so
and
those
your publications, Rolf. You know, you've really carved out two areas that you're defending, and I guess one would be the business community, the business personalities, the main activities going on, the impact of business and impact of the economy on business and political decisions on business. You've got that area of the journalism and information market well defended, and you also, I guess, have this style magazine with 225 and In Register. Those are two pretty big areas of reader interest in our community, and also have a big impact on our community. How do you defend those if the advocate decides it wants a bigger piece of the action in those?
Well, again, you know, the advocate, you know, a daily paper serves a different need, just like a boutique versus Walmart. Walmart has about every product you want in there, right? And they depend on size. But if you want something specific, you know, to clothing or whatever, you might go to a men's store. And so our thing is we kind of have our niches. You can't have 40 pages of business in a daily newspaper because 40% of the audience is not interested in business. You know, they're not business owners. So we can send ours to business owners, and we can cover business cover to cover, much like a tennis magazine is for tennis players, a golf magazine is for golf, you know. And so when they pick up Business Report, that's what they want to read about. Well, you know, dailies, you know, you read selectively. You might read certain sections. Some reads for, some don't. So you kind of have something for everybody. But, you know, we are able to give 100% business or 100% on the lifestyle, entertainment, and we target it. So I think that's the thing is that dailies obviously have mass. And if you're looking to, if you're Dillard's and you want to reach masses, then, of course, that's a good vehicle for an advertiser. But, you know, it's difficult to be both.
Well, just keep in mind that although we might describe the big dailies as a Walmart, that Mr. George's made a lot of his fortune in the convenience store business. But, so he can play small ball too, I guess.
Well, as he said, though, he's in 12 states.
That's so right.
He's scaled up into a huge operation, and there may be somebody else that just caters to certain stores in certain areas, and they try to build on their relationship with those people. And so, again, you've got to find what you're good at, and you got to try to be the best at it.
I asked John this question. I'll ask you, too. You had both formerly run for mayor of a city, mm-hmm. and I wonder whether you're thinking about doing that again.
I don't know about John, but not me. I've been there, done that, as they say. I was 44 when I got into that situation, and I'm going to be 58 in August. I've got a new grandson, so my priorities are different now. I'm going to leave it to the younger folks and the next generation. Unlike my good friend Buddy Romer, who seems to have a lot more energy than me, I'm not getting into politics at 60 again.
Well, do you have a succession strategy for your business?
Well, I actually, had the pleasure. Two of my daughters both worked for me. They after graduating, moved out to California for 2 years and worked out there and came back, and one of them is my top salesperson at 225, and the other one is in charge of all our events and marketing director here. So they do all of our events in the community, and we enjoy it, and they enjoy it. But I don't know if they want the the life that I have and the hours that I have. Younger people today have different interests, and they both interested in children. Like I said, my oldest has one son now, and so. Yeah, I want them to do whatever they are passionate about doing, and it's been great working with them, but that's up to them.
Well, you are an observer of the news coverage of this area. You watch political developments very closely. You write a column in the Business Report where you comment on state news and on community news here in Baton Rouge. What are your thoughts on the overall quality of news coverage in this region? It seems to me we have more reporters and commentators than ever before. And what do you think of the quality and what's being covered and what's not being covered?
Yeah, well, I think overall, I think it's good. I think, as we say, there's always room for improvement. We can all get better. And it is very interesting. And I think what's happening now, I think, like you said, we do have a lot of opinion, out there. And, of course, there's even more and more coverage with things like The Lens, that now has, created online, some online products, and you have bloggers.
That's right. That's a New Orleans online news outfit, a nonprofit.
Tyler
Bridges
job.
Was up here doing a lot of enterprise stories during the session, did a great job.
So you have that now. You have a lot more coverage and opinion and bloggers and their Twitter and so forth that allows for more voices, and of course that's one thing we try to do here is I have my opinion, which is in my column, but then there's news, and that's where something I always kind of get disturbed a little about when columnists write also are news reporters, because you tend to show one side in the opinion column and then you write news articles and you wonder, always concern of the bleed. But I think what John George's and the Picayune are doing in New Orleans and even here in Baton Rouge now is really fascinating. I think the national groups, Columbia, are watching this because, only New York really has two dailies. And, you have a situation down there where you have two, big organizations with a lot of resources. And, like he said, after Katrina, the market has never recovered to what it was in New Orleans.
It's a really fascinating business exercise and newspaper war down there, because I think in modern times what you've seen in the form of a newspaper war usually are two newspapers in nearby cities battling over the suburban areas in between, would be maybe what you'd think a newspaper war. But here you're really talking about a market share battle in the New Orleans area with a new daily newspaper, and I think they're going to make a lot of changes in that paper, by the way. Well, and then you have this whole new vehicle with NOLA/TP that's coming out with 3 days a week, and then supposedly coming out with a tabloid 3 days a week on the newsstands, and then a whole variety of online materials. They really have pushed very hard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is going to be, I think it's going to get bloody because you have, you know, battle over talent down there, you know, with you people moving back and forth, they're hiring away. You have, like you said, the TP Street up here. They've started something called BR Weekly with their NOLA.com website. You've got The Advocate down there, you know, obviously going after advertisers. I think one of the reasons they did what they did is there wasn't a large enough ad base to support their model, you know, and so they wanted to streamline and make it more profitable.
Just an incredible media environment we're in, and Rolf, you're right in the middle of it. Rolf McCollister, publisher of the Business Report, thank you for being with us, joining us on the Jim Inkster Show. This is Robert Travis Scott
sitting in
for Jim Inkster today. We'll be back tomorrow with more on the Jim Inkster Show. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.
Podcasts of the Jim Inkster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Inkster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.